Podcast. With your hosts, Trisha and Kylie. Here, we guide you on a journey of personal and professional transformation. Revealing the secrets to success. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, join us as we unlock the doors to the elite world of growth, grit, and grace. So, let's dive in.
Welcome, 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 friends, to another episode of the Elite Life Podcast. We are so glad you're here today. I am Trish.
And I'm Kylie. And today we are diving into something deep and giving you some actionable resources and tips to make your life better.
Yes. Today we are going to be talking about one of the most powerful life skills you can develop. The ability to stay in a good mood even when life gives you zero reasons to be one.
Yeah, because let's be real, 2025 for some of us has tried to take us out. I think there's a hit list out there.
I'll raise my hand here. I don't know what's happening this year. And I never even generalized like whole years in general. Like I've never been that person that's like, this year is awful. Can't wait for next year. But yeah.
You're ready?
I'm ready.
Well, we're turning over a new leaf and we're going to be putting some of these in action ourselves. And I think it really just comes down to like building resilience, like be resilient.
I mean, I am like the queen of resilience, but your mood is different than that, I feel like. And the reason why I got the idea for this podcast, Andy had sent me this amazing Alex Hormozi podcast.
I love listening to that guy talk.
So you know what? I never had listened to like a full podcast of his. This was the first time.
He's got a wild story.
He gave a little bit of his story on it. I'll have to like, maybe you can send me an episode that really like showcases it.
Yeah.
But I was like in the thick of one of those like everything is falling apart weeks. And Andy sends me this podcast and I had a long ride. I was going to Fraser to watch Trent play roller hockey. And the first part of it was like, if you can be in a bad mood for no reason, then you can train yourself to be in a good mood for no reason too.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's legit. You can.
It is. And honestly, I mean, usually when you're in a bad mood, there's some kind of something. But there have been days where like Ryan will be like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. I'm irritated. And he'll be like, well, how can I help? I'm like, you can't. You just have to let me feel my way through it. Go away from me. And he's like, jeepers, I'm going fishing.
Well, but it's because of what you're focusing on. Because right. Your brain will literally wire itself for the day based on what you focus on. And that's called neuroplasticity. You know, I'm going to go to science because
science.
I love the science. But your brain is always changing. And like, I get really deep when I start to think about science and like how, like if you had a camera to your brain, you could actually see your brain changing when it listens to what you give it. So if you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, it's going to be another stressful day.
Uh-huh.
Guess what your brain's going to do? It is going to scan for reasons why it's going to be a stressful day. And that's why high achievers and high performers and top performers, they start their day with gratitude, mm-hmm. with journaling their goals, because then they're setting their brain to go focus on gratitude, positivity,
growth.
And their goals.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. So if you train it to say instead, what's one thing I can control today? Because I feel like for a lot of us, we come to this place and a majority of the reasons why we get frustrated and in a bad mood is we feel like something's out of control, right? And a lot of times, like we've talked about on the show, there's plenty of times in life where things are going sideways and you just don't have control.
Yeah.
So if you can rewire your brain to say, what's one thing I can control today? Like Trisha just said, your brain is going to start looking for things you can control. And I will tell you, I have done this in my own personal life. And the kids, anytime the house is like spick and span, the kids think that somebody died or someone's in big trouble, because that's my go-to. When I feel like things are out of control and I'm really crunchy for quote-unquote no reason, That is one thing I can control is the state of my house. And mm-hmm. I know that once I'm done cleaning my house, I am going to feel accomplished. I'm going to feel productive. Those are the other reasons why I get upset. And it's going to give me an environment to do the other things that I need to do to put myself in a good mood. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to feel good to start doing this. The action comes first.
Right.
And the mood follows. So you're taking action, you're cleaning.
Go
and
clean
then
your house,
feel,
y'all.
You feel good because you have control over something in yeah. your life. And so psychologists call that behavioral activation mode. And it's actually used in cognitive behavioral therapy, which is one of the biggest therapies there are out there. It's CBT for abbreviation. And the premise of it is when you take meaningful action, even if you don't feel like it, your mood will improve as a result.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no other way around it. You're like, ooh, I have control. I'm taking action. I'm stacking those winnings, right? Or those wins. We talk about getting on a winning streak, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So even if you're stuck in a bad mood, you know, you don't have to wait for the universe or whatever to throw you something that'll put you – you just work your way through it. Just take action first and the rest will follow. And I totally fell off. Oh, reframing. That was what we were going to talk about next. That's basically reframing your perspective. So instead of, like we said, waking up and being like, oh, today's going to be so stressful. This deal's falling apart. I got to work with that person. Well, you can be like, awesome. I get to go out. I get to help people today. I get to work with my partners. And that's what your brain will do.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a quote that Alex Hormozi dropped from Viktor Frankl, and he's a Holocaust survivor and a psychiatrist, and he said, "Everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances."
Yeah.
We get to choose how we show up. We get to choose how we feel. And if you go back to my episode where I talked about our episode where I talked about my graduation,
mm-hmm.
and I had a choice in that day whether I could let other people affect a day I worked 25 years for, or if I was going to get up and say, this is my day, I'm going to own how I feel, and I choose to enjoy it no matter what's happening around me.
Yeah.
Let's go, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, just to clarify, reframing is not the same as like faking it to me, like faking your way through it, right? That's not strength, that's avoidance, right? And I'm the queen of avoidance. I love avoiding things I'm supposed to be doing. So reframing is actually about your intentionality of going about it. So when you are in your mind, it's kind of like we've talked about calls before, right? So like everybody in the sales industry is got this well, maybe not everybody, but especially new people, cold calling, making phone calls, things like that. And if you're like, oh, I got to make 200 calls. Oh, I got to make 200 calls. You can reframe that in a more positive way so that your brain will start working in a more positive manner, and you will look for those wins and you will look for those opportunities in the conversations that you're having to take these people to the next level. So it really comes down to your intentionality rather than – is that a word? Intentionality? Intentionalness?
Yeah, and it's funny you mention calls because I've been noticing lately when I can tell the difference between an agent who is either scared new or doesn't like the phones and they don't like them because they're not good at them, right? Or somebody who's been doing it for a long time and is a phone ninja, because they call it two different things. Like you just said, cold calls. But the interesting thing is like at our office, we don't do a cold call is grabbing a Yellow Pages, right, back in the day, or going on Google and just getting a list of people's phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like what we have, we buy leads from realtor.com. Those are not cold calls. Cold calls are just calling 100 people out of the blue and saying, hey, would you like to buy or sell a house? That's totally cold. They have never inquired on anything. You don't know them. There is zero connection to what you are doing. It is just a list of random strangers' phone numbers.
Right.
Whereas like what we do at our office, it's realtor.com leads. It's people who have inquired on an ad. So the difference is you'll hear somebody call it cold calls, which they aren't even actually cold calls, or somebody who does it all the time, they'll be like, hey, it's money time, it's power hour,
it's
time to get into my opportunities, it's prospecting.
I call it going fishing.
going fishing.
Yeah.
See that? It's a totally different name that puts you in a totally different frequency, a totally different energy. A cold call sounds like you say crunchy and hard.
Well, the
and
thing is like cold itself is an uncomfortable word.
Right. Yes.
You know, yeah. You're picturing blue, you're picturing cold, you're picturing
Frigidity.
Yeah. Oh, I need another one of these. But, and I, like I said, I call it, I'm going fishing because I like to go fishing. And I really enjoy, because I think I've been doing it for long enough to where I've gotten comfortable to the point of actually enjoying it. Like having a conversation with someone and knowing that, okay, I've got different levels of what I would like to happen out of this. Rather than just like, I got to make 200 phone calls. Oh, I got to sign 200 people. Oh, it's like, no, I'm going to have these. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to talk to some people, see where we're at, and just keep in touch.
But you get to make people's lives better.
Yeah.
And so that's what reframing is. It's not, oh my gosh, this is going to be uncomfortable. I got to go. I have to go do these. It's like, I get this opportunity today to impact people's lives in such a positive fashion, to give them this amazing opportunity of home ownership.
And a good
experience.
Where
they're going to have safety and security and a great experience with an agent that knows what they're doing and loves what they're doing. And everything about that is great. So that is reframing, and people who consistently reframe adversity in constructive ways, they actually have lower cortisol levels, which cortisol, when it's up, you get fat, you get stressed, you don't sleep. That is your stress hormone. Mm-hmm. They have lower stress hormones. They have better immune function. So they stay healthier and they have more satisfaction in life. So we are not just throwing out a cute mindset tip here. This is biology, guys. This is an amazing, awesome thing to be able to control.
Absolutely. And so science is on your side. And so the next time that you're tempted to say something like, oh, this is the worst, or oh, I could never do that, or oh, this isn't going to go well, just ask yourself, how could this be the best thing that ever happened to me? I remember, and I've told this story before, but for those who are just joining us, I had a mental block around calling expireds. And again, these aren't cold people. These are people who wanted to sell their house. Mm-hmm. And so I would just have it in my head that like everybody's going to say no, nobody wants to talk to me. They've already had 5,000 people call them, blah, 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 blah. And Andy came in and he was like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be doing 100 dials today. That's what we said we were doing. And I said, I'm getting to it. And he's like, listen, he's like, instead of telling yourself what's the worst thing that could happen, I get cussed out, I get hung up on, nobody answers the phone. He's like, what's the best thing that could happen? You get a new client, you make thousands of dollars, and you help somebody who needs help. And I'm like, okay. Win. So
you're dialing expireds tomorrow is what you're telling
me. Oh my goodness. So see, I get myself into these situations. So let's talk about a formula for a good day.
Yeah, I loved it.
I liked this segment too. He was talking about the good day formula is eat with people you like, move with people you like, write or create something. That's very, very simple. So does that mean I'm not eating breakfast with the children? Just kidding.
Any meal. But think of a meal. And I loved when he said this because I thought about, you know, I often am the perfect person that's like, hey, what's your perfect day look like? What's your perfect day look like? And I thought about some of my days that I enjoyed the most, they didn't even have to have something like spectacularly amazing in them happen. But like if I took 30 days, a full month, what are the days I enjoyed the most in that month? And I probably did one of those things. I ate with somebody I liked. I moved with somebody I liked. I went on a walk. I did a workout. I went to the gym. I met Alicia at CrossFit, you know, whatever it was. Or I wrote or created something that I was proud of, right? Yeah. And I think that like when you can do one of those things or even all three of those things, like that's the secret sauce. And you have to have all the time that you need to have to do that. So like don't cram it. Like when I thought about When I was really big into CrossFit, whenever I PR'd a lift, so whenever I got a personal record of a lift, like the heaviest deadlift I ever did was 295 pounds. Ooh. And the day that I did that deadlift, I had just been at open gym by myself. I was taking my time. I was listening to jams. I didn't have anywhere I needed to be. It was right, like, I think it was either during COVID or right when I got over. So, like, everybody had slowed down. Like, yeah. Nobody was rushing to be anywhere. I didn't have anything that I needed to do. And I was finishing opening gym. And I remember the owner of the gym had just came in getting ready for the first class of the afternoon. And I hit that lift. And then I counted my plates. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it wasn't even, like, there was just no stress. There was no pressure. All my favorite people had just came in the gym and I just, like, left it at, and I'm, like, excited and I'm talking and I'm enjoying my time and my space. And that was my best lift. And when I thought about the other lifts that I had, like my other very best lift when I was doing my favorite clean, that was at a competition with three girls that I was having the most fun at, and we're dancing and we're competing and we have energy and everybody's cheering. And it's like, that's when the magic happens, when you're not rushed, when you're doing something you enjoy around the people that you enjoy doing it. And so it's like when we were talking yesterday about being in the office, why it's so different to work from home than it is to work in the office, because you're around people that you like, you're feeling that energy, you're enjoying your time instead of waking up, rolling out of bed, sitting on the phone and being begrudgingly doing what you have to do to check the boxes, right? You've woke up, you've took a shower, you showed up, you feel great, you got your commute, you got away from the kids, you're in your zone, you're at your desk, it feels good, yeah. You're making miracles happen, and that's the good day formula.
Yeah, absolutely. After our coaching session yesterday, I did start writing out like my perfect day, and one thing I noticed was my perfect day comes down to three segments of time: waking up and doing my morning routine, going to work, chunks of time, like big chunks of time with my family, 2-hour chunks, 3-hour chunks of time with my family, and an evening routine. And I don't have to cram every single, I don't cram every single second of my day up. Yeah. And that's my perfect day. And like when we initially started talking about perfect day, I always thought like it was like 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, yeah. boop, 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 every single second's accounted for. And it's not.
No. It's not. So reframe your day around the stuff that matters, not just the checklist, not just the noise, not just the hustle and grind. Like, we got a lot of stuff we got to do, but the crux of your day should be built around things that you enjoy and you love. Because if you don't, you get to a point in life where you're like, I don't even know what I'm doing this for, because you haven't actually enjoyed something in so long. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't go through hard times and you don't experience pain. So let's talk about redefining pain as fuel. Because here's what's true. Life is hard. And when you are building something that matters, whether that is a career, a family, a legacy, whatever it is, if you're doing something in your life that matters, you have a mission, you have a goal, you will endure pain. And in the beginning, when it comes up, you'll be like, I don't understand why this is happening or that is happening. And the bigger your mission is, and the harder it is, and the bigger your goal is, and the more people you're trying to impact, the more painful that journey is going to be. And the more times you're going to come in to friction. Mm-hmm. And haters, and, you know, like Alex Hormozi was talking about how he has all these people online that like criticize him, and he's too this and he's too that and he's too this and he's too that. And I've actually gotten to this conversation a lot lately about like when we did the Teen Takeover episode, I was talking to my dad and his wife afterwards, and I was saying how like the girls were, you know, comparing themselves and wishing that they could do more, do better. And I said, here's the thing that's true. Like, in life, you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And even if you could be, some people like coffee. They don't like tea.
Yeah.
Right? And so what Alex Hormozi said, it comes down to, here's the thing. The way that I live my life, and this applies to everybody, the way that I live my life isn't preferential to other people. I may love to work all the time, and that's what I enjoy, and that's what I love, and that's not preferential to other people. So they have feelings around that. They think it's crazy. They think it's bad. They want to exert their opinion because they feel some sort of way inside that the way that I live is not preferential to them. But here's the thing. The way that they live is not preferential to me.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those things are okay.
Yeah.
You don't need to throw hate and throw shade because the way that you live is the way you want to live, and it's not the way somebody else is living or interacting with the world. And that's how you know when you're being a bigger person. But because most people haven't went through a growth mindset or haven't went through personal development, or they don't have a high emotional cue, instead they're going to try to cause pain in your life.
Mm.
So let's talk about pain.
Dang.
Pain is not the enemy. Pain is the receipt for the life that you are building.
Mm.
So I want you to think about pain as the tuition for the person that you are becoming, okay? The character you say you want, right? You want courage, you want patience, you want wisdom. And it's funny because Pastor Stephen Furtick, a long time ago, he was doing this sermon and he said, be careful when you pay for patience, when you pray for patience.
I was just going to say.
Because God's going to bring you an ornery kid who's screaming and yelling, or a husband that don't listen, or a staff member that just doesn't get it, right? Courage and patience and wisdom, they don't come from comfort. They don't come from comfort. So Alex said this, and it hit me so much. I rewound this 6 times, and I'm going to read it word for word because, like, I rewound it so many times so I could type it out. He said, you cannot wish for both strong character and an easy life because the price of one is the other. And so when I think about pain, I think about what thing am I paying for right now? And is that thing something that I want? And if it is, it reframes the pain as the price of the thing that I want. And so what's very interesting, it's super interesting because they've done research on this, where they have somebody who accepts shocks. And I learned about this, and Alex was talking about this on his podcast, but I learned about this in my psychology class, okay? So they have this person, and he's in this, like, little room, and he's accepting shocks. And they tell
like shock
him,
therapy?
Like shock therapy, right? And this is an experiment that they do in psychology. And they say that, like, okay, the more pain you take, the less pain your kid is going to take in the other room. Okay,
So
we're going to put you in one room. We're going to put your kid in the other room. And if you take more shocks, the more shocks you take, the less shocks we're going to give your kid. Well, now all of a sudden, you'll endure any shock. You'll go up to a deadly amount of shock because you don't want your kid in the other room to endure any shocks, mm-hmm. right? So maybe in the beginning, you'll go, okay, they can do a little bit of this. But as soon as it starts to get hard, you're like, I'll take it all, right? So all of a sudden, your threshold for pain, like, quadruples,
yeah.
right? You are willing to endure whatever it takes to get that pain away from your family. So he says it like this. He says, I start to reframe my struggles, right? If I have a struggle in business, right? And if I say, okay, and this sounds extreme to people, right? But if he says, if my wife is gonna die, if I don't figure this out, what mountain am I willing to move to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you lose your job, let's say, and you have to get a job or else your wife is gonna die because she won't have medicine for her cancer, you're going to find a way to move a mountain and get a job, right? You're going to be Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah.
You will be sleeping in that floor, that dirty floor with your leg on the door to keep your kids safe and make sure you have a new home. But people don't think like that. They think, we'll live in a smaller house. We'll just give up some of the nice things because, you know, it's hard to find a job. And that's the problem. His wife was in with her coach and she said, you know, all these hard things are happening and we don't really have good choices. And her coach said, well, are you settling? are you moving frickin' mountains?
Mm.
You're settling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. So the thing is, the next time you're in it and the next time that you're going through pain, you need to think about, like, what trait is this developing me? Because a good life is not an easy life. A good life is one that grows you.
Yeah.
If you're trying to do something hard, you have to endure more pain. And that's why this podcast resonated with me so much, because the last 9 months of my life have been nothing but pain. And usually I can find some good things. Usually I'm like, well, silver lining is this, silver lining is this, silver lining is this. It just became pain after pain after pain after pain, attacked on all fronts. And I got to a point where I'm like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I said it out loud so many times, screaming and crying. I don't know why I'm doing this. I just want to quit. I want to get on a plane. I want to fly away. Forget it. And then I stopped and I had to, like, think about it on a couple different occasions. And I'm like, this isn't even like this is so hard, and it feels harder because you've been going through it for so long. But this is definitely not the hardest thing you've went through.
Right.
So, like, start to reframe this pain as, like, this has gone on for so long and it's been so hard. What is God training you for? What, like, you are about to level up so big that God is building a new level of resilience in you, so that when you get to this next level, you're going to be Alex Hormozy Strong, who has 8-figure problems he's talking about in his podcast. We can't even imagine that, right? Like, like, the first time I did my taxes and I realized we brought in 7 figures, I was like, I didn't, like, what? What? And he's over here with 8-figure problems. But to be somebody who can undertake 8-figure problems, like, you have to be built so freaking strong, right? To where when these people attack, like, you know, this worker or that worker, or this lawsuit or that lawsuit or whatever these things are that feel super huge, you have to be able to look at it and be like, oh, that's cute. Like, you think you're relevant. Oh, you think your little posts are going to make me sad. Oh, you think your little lawsuit threat is going to freak me out. Like, no. No. You know how much worse stuff I've been through? Go ahead. Keep throwing your little cute things at me. Like, you're irrelevant and I don't care.
Oh!
So we'll go to a little break now.
Did you know that over 80% of real estate agents call it quits within their first year in the business? It's a staggering statistic, but at MyStarsAcademy.com, we're here to change that narrative. Our expert-based training and coaching program caters to both agents and brokers. The Agent Accelerator Program is your key to leveling up your real estate business. Learn how to generate a constant flow of free leads, convert those leads into loyal clients, and keep them coming back for more as repeat business. Our industry experts bring years of proven success to the table and provide one-on-one coaching to help you achieve structure and work-life balance. We'll map out a plan for you to follow, guiding you through the steps to scale and grow both in your business and personal life. Don't become another statistic. Visit MyStarsAcademy.com and enroll today to pave the way for your future success.
So this next part is a little tough love, you guys. If you want a life that most people don't have, you got to be willing to do what most people aren't willing to do. I had to remind myself of that this morning when I got up and did not hit snooze. And I had to remember the mindset of, this is what you want. This is what you want. This is what you want. It's like paying your mortgage, right? I want this house, but the bank owns it. So I'm going to pay for it. And if I want good health, I'm going to pay for it by enacting habits that are going to be good. So
you want to hear something funny about that, right? When you came in and I was listening to this Alex Hormozy podcast again.
Just is that what you were listening to? Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what he actually says in it? There are more, it's a statistical fact that there are more people over 30 that are millionaires than people over 30 that have six-pack abs.
Wow.
It is more likely for you to become a millionaire than it is for you to have six-pack abs, because everybody knows what you're supposed to do, but nobody wants to do the work.
Can I have both, please?
You'd probably be in like the 1%. You can have both. Here's the thing. You can have both.
Yeah.
You absolutely can.
You can have abs and $1 million, but you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Exactly. Because here's the thing. Like, we have to say it again for the people in the back. Like, this is the separator. Like, most people think success is about talent or timing or charisma or going viral because of this reel. And the honest fact of it is, and this applies to everything, because it's funny, Trent's goalie coach, we had a lot of conversations when Trent was going through junior hockey, and he said, here's the thing, hockey is about like getting somewhere in hockey. Especially for goalies, especially for left-handed goalies, especially for an under 6 foot left-handed goalie. But for people in general, it's about endurance. Who is willing to take the crap the longest? Mm-hmm. Because over at a hockey, like when you are in junior hockey, it's a grind. You are going to have awful hours. Trent's getting puck shot at his head at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
you're living in strangers' houses. Some of them are awful. I heard some horror stories this year. This one kid was in an attic at a billet house where he got bit by so many bugs, it made him blind. He went blind during a game because
are you serious?
Some sort of virus living in these people's attic. They put them on the road in buses that break down. They're driving for 2 days. They're in the most horrible hotels. The one hotel I went and visited, Trenton, there was bullet holes in the door.
Oh,
there was bullet holes in the door. So
love that for him.
If you want to keep going, you have to endure the shittiest of the shit, the worst of the worst, the crap of the crap. And it's no different in business. It's no different in life. Like, it is all resilience and endurance. And, like, the psychology backs it up. There's this thing. It's called grit science. And it's pioneered by Dr. Angela Duckworth. And she has a book. We were talking about it at the break. And I forget exactly what it's called. But it's a white book. And it says grit in red on the front. And I have read
okay.
it back when we lived on Luke Lane. And it shows that the most successful people are not necessarily the smartest. They are not the most talented. They're the ones that keep going long after others quit. And grit is not just stubbornness. It is passion. It is perseverance over time. It's waking up on day 87 and showing up when no one is clapping. It's bouncing back from the fifth rejection and the same energy that you brought to the first opportunity. It's when the worst of the worst of the worst is happening and you wake up and you get on that Zoom call anyways, even though you have no voice from crying all night and being stressed out. And the last thing you want to do is go motivate your team at 8:30 in the morning on a Monday morning. But we're doing it anyway.
Right? Like, resilience is truly the real flex. So, listeners, let me ask you this. When someone cancels on you, when someone rejects you, maybe a sale falls through, maybe daycare cancels because there's no power and now you have to work from home. Maybe you've been showing someone houses for 37 months and they decide to rent or move out of state. You know, let me ask you, do these moments spiral you or sharpen you? Are you spiraling or are you inspired? Spiral or fire? I'm trying to find some nice way to put this that we could put on a t-shirt. Are you frazzled or fired?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But either which way, these things are happening. Mm-hmm. And I am so glad that my mother raised me, because my mom is like, she takes stuff like a wet duck, man. She has taught me how to allow things to just roll off your back. And you know what? We've talked a lot about the let them theory. My mom has been teaching me the let them theory my whole life, like low key. And there have been so many times where things have happened and I'm venting my mom, whether I'm crying at 11 or I'm crying at 25 or I'm crying at 37. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, this is my mom's favorite, her famous move. Well, it's done and over with. So what are you going to do? Mm. And I'm like, oh, she's like, Kylie, this happened. You can't control It's done and it's over. That's her thing. It's done and over with. Like, she'll look my kids dead ass in their face in the middle of a tantrum and she'll say, it's done and over with. We are done now. And I'm just like, okay. And so you have to tell yourself in your mind when these things are going on, it's done. I'm moving on. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And the situation is going to be what it is. It's in the past. There's a reason why your windshield is bigger than your rearview mirror, y'all.
Ooh. I love this because what you're talking about is like people's emotional baseline and their emotional regulation.
And it's hard. Listen.
It is hard.
It is hard.
And here's the thing. You are not going to always get this right.
It's a one day at a time, one step at a time situation.
It is. And here's the thing. Like, this isn't saying you're going to be perfect or you're even going to do it right. Like, I will raise my hand right now. When all this stuff went on, like, I gained a ton of weight. I gained probably 15 pounds, which I have now all lost. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. People that are at the top, it's not that they're tougher. It's just that they've trained their nervous system to bounce back faster. So did you gain 15 pounds over 9 months and then you leave it on for 4 years because, you know, life's just been really hard?
That's me.
Or did you gain it and see a picture of yourself on one of your podcasts and go, wow, I look like I ate three of myself, and put yourself on a freaking diet and start working out and sleep right and start moving your body and start doing the things you need to do to be the person that you know you deserve to be? You have to be able to bounce back faster. And exactly what you said, you also have to have the right people around you. Because had I had... not that I don't have the right people around me, but had I had a couple more people that probably would have looked at me and said, okay, it's done. Let's go. Move forward. But a lot of us were experiencing the same things at the same time, and that can be harder.
Yeah, right? Like when you're stuck in an echo chamber.
When you're stuck in an echo chamber and everybody's kind of going through all the crap at one time, that is harder. So it's important to have the right people around you. It's important to be able to bounce back faster, to realize, oh crap, I'm slipping in that dark hole. Let's get ourselves out of this, right?
Get your poop in a group, y'all.
Yeah, so it's mental muscle memory. And we build our mental muscle memory by enduring hard things again and again and again and again and again. And that's what psychologists refer to as stress inoculation.
Yep.
Did you know that? Stress inoculation?
That is like to say the more controlled stress you endure with intention, the more adaptive you become. It's like exposure therapy.
Yeah, for sure. So why is this happening to me? I'm training for the life I asked for. I'm training for the life I asked for.
Yes.
It's not why is this hard. It's, okay, this is hard. That means I'm ready to level up. What's next? Like you said, what's next?
What's next? What are we doing?
What's next?
What's next? Perfect. We went through a lot of this.
Yeah.
You did great.
I love where it says here that, like, you don't get to world-class endurance without some sweat. If you want to stand on stages, if you want to run empires, if you want to build a legacy, then you have to outlast the resistance most people run from. Because that's what happened. People run from hard things. People run from having to be resilient. People run when it gets hard and tough. And that's why they never level up. They will be the same people forever.
Yes. And I think that, you know, that really sat with me, like, when I was talking about getting back to moving my body and starting to be more conscious about all of the things going into it and what time. So this morning I got up and I had committed to working out in the morning, fixing that morning routine. And in my mind, I keep saying, you just need 21 days. You just need 21 days, because I know at the end of my 21 days, it's going to be a habit. It's going to be my body. My body's going to I'm not going to need my alarm. I'm going to be up at between 5:30 and 6. My brain's going to wake up and my body's going to crave that movement first thing in the morning. And so this morning I knew that I had a stacked morning, appointments, podcasting. And so I was like, oh, I'll just do this one video because I won't sweat as much. And then I won't have to shower, wash my hair, deal with all of that. And then I said, no, we're not doing that. You have to sweat or you're not going to lose weight and you're not going to tone up. And so I did leg day. I still didn't shower.
But
that's why my hair is straight. But you have to remind yourself that nothing in this life is free. Nothing in success is free. Everybody that you see at the top has paid their dues. Yeah. Whether they are at the top of owning their business, they have had their piss-stained mattress phases of that business probably a couple of times.
Yeah, that's important. Like, doesn't just happen once.
No.
It's not just in the beginning.
Should be happening all the time, y'all. All the time. So with all of that said, let's just really quickly talk about these things that you can ask yourself before we wrap up when you are in the thick of it. One of the suggestions is called the veteran reframe. So it's like, if this happened 100 times, would it still bother me?
I like that one.
I like that one too, because depending on the thing, you might be like, yeah, if this happens to me 100 times, I'm going to be in a mental facility. Like, I'm going to go crazy. But most often it's like, if this happens 100 times, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the second one is a huge perspective shift. It's called like a zoom out. So in the grand scheme of things, does this matter? And I ask myself this a lot when I'm dealing with my kids and we are butting heads on something and I have to say, okay, does this matter? In the grand scheme of things, will it matter if they eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for dinner? They ate chicken and veggies last night. They're going to eat spaghetti. Does it matter?
Probably
right?
Not.
Does it matter if my son is on day two of his favorite outfit? Is it covered in mud? No. Does it have food all over it? No. Okay, good. On with the day. Does this matter in the grand scheme of things? And the last frame out is, what would your 85-year-old self say?
I like that one because often I'll have to ask myself, like, will I even think about this two years from now?
Am I going
to
think about this?
Because there's so little that you think about 2 years from now. What do you remember from 2 years ago,
five years ago? Not a damn thing.
10 years ago.
Not a single thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, like you said, kind of wrapping up, like, let's talk about something that trips up a lot of good people, especially high achievers with big hearts, and that's that the idea that you have to feel good to do good. Because this came in to play for us these last few months where me and Andy were talking and I'm like, you know what, it feels so hard to keep doing good things when you keep getting screwed over by bad people.
Fair.
But then when you do a good thing for somebody who's actually good people, the gratitude is so amazing. So you don't have to feel amazing to be effective. You don't have to be in a perfect mood to make progress. You don't have to stop doing good things because a whole bunch of bad people screwed you over.
I argue that when the bad things are coming and coming and coming and piling up, I would argue that continuing to do the good things is what's going to pull you through.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of times where I have been in a yucky mood and I have gotten, you know, I was doing something totally normal and Ryan will be like, hey, thanks for cooking dinner today. I really didn't feel good. Or Casey will be like, hey, I came to hang out with you while you're doing the dishes, or let me help you, or something like that. Continue to do the good things, because one thing I have learned, and I haven't been walking this earth super duper long in the grand scheme of things, but what you put out is what you get back. And there's always those things that throw a wrench, you know, those life events, those people that will throw a wrench into things. But overall, on the grand scheme of things, what you put out is what you get back. Whether you want to say universe, karma, God, whatever, we all have our different beliefs. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. If you are going through some serious crap and then you died at the end of the serious crap, what are people going to say? Are people going to say, wow, she got really toxic there at the end because this, that, or the other? Ooh, she was really super depressed. Or are they going to say, man, she had some shit going on and she soldiered through? What a great example of how to continue to be a light in the darkness.
Yes. And that's called having emotional discipline. And I don't think a lot of people
have
heard of that term.
I don't have that.
You do have emotional discipline. And I've seen you. That's where you are having awful stuff that's going on around you, but you're able to come in the office and be a bright light for others. Exactly what you were just talking about. And that's behavioral activation, because actions create momentum and momentum creates evidence, and that evidence sends a new message to your nervous system. We are not helpless. We are not stuck.
We are
in motion. We are in control. We are doing great things. And that generates confidence. And confidence doesn't come from just thinking about stuff. It comes from doing stuff, even when you don't feel like it. So those mornings where I was like, I just want to stay in bed. I just want to hide. Why would I even bother? No, dude, you're going to get out of bed. You're going to move your body. You are going to impact somebody in a positive way, because that's the only way you're going to feel better. Somebody asked me yesterday in this group, in the school that we're doing a new women's entrepreneurial group. So any woman that wants to someday start a business or is in business or is trying to scale a business, we started this new group called She Built That. And this girl messaged me yesterday and she said, What do you like? What do you enjoy? And the first things that came out of my keyboard, out of my mouth, out of my brain was, I really love impacting people in a positive way. I love helping people grow and scale in life and their business and their fitness in any way, shape, or form that I can. I love being able to make a difference that is a positive difference in other people's lives. And I was like, dang. I really do love that. That was my first thought.
I'm over here like tacos, chocolate cake. I like to sit in the sunshine. Yeah. I love me a good nacho.
Right, but that wasn't what came to mind. What did not come to my mind was like hobbies or things like that. The first thing that came to my mind was positively impacting other people.
Look at you.
I know. So when I'm in the deep of it, or it's hard, or it's painful, think of how you can positively impact somebody, because
that'll
like
make
you said,
feel good.
It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good to make other people feel good.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Any last words, Trisha?
Let your habits drag your feelings to greatness.
Oh, I love that. We're dragging ourselves along. That sounds like a regular Thursday here on The Elite Life. So wherever you are listening, make sure you hit the sub button, because you know you love us and you want to make sure that you do not miss another episode of The Elite Life, because we drop fresh content every Thursday. So wherever you're listening, make sure you come back next week and we will see you then.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on The Elite Life Podcast with Trish and Kylie. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend so we can keep delivering you more fantastic insights on grit, grace, and growth. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll keep the ideas flowing to help you build a life you love and leave a legacy you can be proud of. Until next time.